Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Seth Wickersham from ESPN coming up at 7:15. We'll get his thoughts on what was a wild day yesterday in the NFL. Tom Brady retires. While we were on the air yesterday, and then, Joe, just a wild story coming out about Brian Flores yesterday, suing the NFL and three teams in the process, the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Giants, alleging discrimination regarding his interview processes with Denver and New York and his firing last month by the Miami Dolphins. So, Joe, there's a lot to sift through here. Number one, technically, Brian Flores is still in contention for the Saints job down in New Orleans. He was a finalist for the Texans job as well, and now has come out with a 58-page lawsuit that was filed yesterday in Manhattan, suing the NFL and three teams in the NFL as well. And there's a lot to sort through here. I mean, number one, some of the stuff that's coming out about his time in Miami with Stephen Ross. I mean, my goodness, the allegations are that basically – Stephen Ross tried to incentivize Brian Flores to tank in 2019 to better their draft position and reportedly, I guess allegedly, offered Brian Flores $100,000 for every single loss that season. So that's kind of its own thing down there in Miami, which, you know, if they deem that to be true, like the NFL, you got to make Stephen Ross sell at that point. Like, you can't have one of your owners actively tanking and paying your coaches to lose. I mean, that is direct violation of competitive advantage stuff. But there's that part of it. And then there's the Broncos and Giants part of it as well. And it kind of got started yesterday on Twitter by some text messages coming out after this lawsuit was announced from Bill Belichick, where he was essentially texting Brian Flores, congratulating him on basically getting the job for the Giants. And they go back and forth, and eventually Flores just asked him, like, wait a minute, are you talking to me or are you talking about Brian Daboll? And eventually Bill Belichick comes back and says, yeah, sorry, man, I screwed this up. It looks like they're going to hire Brian Daboll, which Brian Daboll is qualified to be the head coach. I don't think there's any question about that. The problem is Flores hadn't interviewed yet. He had not interviewed yet for the Giants job. So obviously allegations of racism in the coaching hiring process. We talked about the Rooney rule here before on the show. There's a lot that goes into this, Rex Road. I'm interested to see where it goes from here. By the way, Brian Flores looks like he's going to appear on Get Up a little bit later this morning at 9:30. So that'll be some interesting comments coming up on ESPN a little bit later today. But what a wild story yesterday coming out about Brian Flores.
Yeah, there's a lot to this. First of all, the Stephen Ross stuff. There's another thing with Stephen Ross. A story, yeah. Flores tells about inviting Flores to a boat, and then, oh, and here's this quarterback he wants him to pursue who just also showed up,
yeah,
which is completely tampering. And Flores said he walked away, like, I'm not doing this. Which again, like, Stephen Ross comes away separate from the racism lawsuit looking terrible. And yeah, you know, he's also like invested in a big gambling thing. So you got that in tandem with, you know, with paying his coach to tank. I mean, you know, for people who thought Daniel Snyder should be gone, and he probably should be, but I think Stephen Ross may quickly leapfrog him here. So that's a separate thing. Yeah, the Broncos thing, he said that like it was a sham interview. Look, I feel like there are plenty of sham interviews with the Rooney Rule. Okay. Yeah. There are teams that decide they want this candidate or that candidate who's white, and the Rooney Rule mandates, you know, minority interviews. And so those are sham interviews. I still think the rule itself is important because it still gets people in front of people, and it should have benefits. But we're sitting here right now in 2022 with one black head coach in the NFL, which is absolutely ridiculous. And if it's hire the best guy. Well, let's look at some of these teams and some of the ridiculously bad hires they've made over the years and tell me they have been. And then I'm going to talk about a guy like Jim Caldwell, who I swear Jim Caldwell, and this is where can't prove it. But Jim Caldwell and what he did with the Lions, he is easily the best Lions coach in my lifetime, easily. And I absolutely believe that if Jim Caldwell were white, he would have had another opportunity by now. I mean, getting the second opportunity as a black coach, it's almost non-existent. But again, you can incentivize and you can have this rule in place. And again, I do think it needs to be there. I think there's value in it because it gets people circulating, it gets people talking to people, gets people outside of their networks to talk to other people and give coaches a chance. But you can't make people, make a hire that you want them to make. So
right. The
NFL's in this spot. The lawsuit itself, I mean, it's a lot to prove, intent here. But certainly the Belichick texting with the Giants shows you not only like did they know it was Daboll, or at least it appears to show this.
Yeah.
That it was Daboll, but also, like Belichick, he found out about it, like days before Flores' interview. I mean, the thing about that is too, apart from the lawsuit and everything, it's just stupid to me. Like if you're the Giants, why wouldn't you be serious about Brian Flores? I think he did a really good job, Miami. It wasn't perfect, but I thought there was a lot of promise shown as a young head coach in his tenure in Miami. And Brian Daboll's an OC who's been a good OC. But why is it just, I understand they had the Bills, GM. So it was kind of, a lot of times it's that. It's like, he's my guy. This is your GM. This coach is your guy. You're going to stay together, come together. But, I mean, like, look at what the Giants have done with their coaching hires of recent years. This lawsuit itself, I don't, I think it's going to be hard to, prove intent. But it also may get a bunch of emails and things out that the NFL does not want out there. And it won't be pretty, like the Gruden emails.
Yep.
And then it's going to be really interesting with Flores, what happens here, because, he came right out at the early in the lawsuit, like the intro or whatever you want to call it, and said, this may cost me my coaching career, but it's worth it for this. I'm paraphrasing. And first of all, I mean, I have a lot of respect for what he's done here. I'm not convinced that that's the case. In fact, if I were the New Orleans Saints, I'm looking at all of these things, and I understand it's his side, and there's always two sides to a story, but I'm looking at a pretty courageous, virtuous guy who's a leader who's doing something like this right now to benefit more than himself. I'd be pretty impressed with that. So we'll see. I mean, maybe it's true. Maybe he's never going to work in this league again because he sued the league. And by the way, I'm going on all these different points. One of the dumbest things about all this is that 5 minutes after it comes out, the NFL comes out and says, there's no merit to this. How could you possibly say that? Who the hell is doing PR for the NFL?
I don't know.
How could you possibly come out and say, there's no merit? You don't have a freaking clue if there's any merit. Shut up and investigate and come back with something. If you want to come up with BS, come up with your BS later and pretend that you actually looked into it. I mean, who the hell does PR for the NFL?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that either, that, literally like 5 minutes after this happens, they're like, yeah, there's no merit to this. I mean, think about the things that have happened in the NFL and the amount of like months long investigations that they've done into things. And then for this to come out and for this lawsuit to be filed, I'm like, yep, no merit. None, there's none. Nothing here. I mean,
who agrees to push send on it? Like, again, it's just like, I expect it to be a sham investigation on their part. Okay. That's fine. They've earned that expectation, but God, at least give it the appearance of that. I mean, it's incredible. So there's a lot to this now. Charles Robinson, our buddy Charles Robinson, and I haven't read if he's posted anything today yet on this, but he had a tweet yesterday that he's got people he's talked to who say they have receipts and are willing to jump in on this. Look, I think everybody knows that there's quote unquote sham interviews at the Rooney Rule, right? Yes. Everybody knows this because sometimes I think plenty of times a team, an owner has an object to pursue. Like, this is who we have to have. The Raiders had to have Gruden, whatever. The Vikings, maybe they had to have Harbaugh, which, by the way, there's another big story in the NFL that's just completely submerged by all this stuff. So like, this is not some revelation. Again, I still think the rule has merit and value. I can't come up with something better. They've increased it to, you must interview two minority coaching candidates, one GM. They incentivize it for teams who develop coaches, minority coaches who go on elsewhere. They get there's a draft pick incentive. I mean, I think the league has tried to do things here, but you're still going to have sham interviews. I don't think there's any question about that.
No, I don't think there is either. And you know, I'm interested to see what comes of the loss. Like as you said, I think it's going to be pretty difficult to prove intent here. So I don't know exactly what's going to come from it from that standpoint. The Stephen Ross part of this is intriguing to me, not only for, you know, the tanking allegations that Brian Flores has put out there, but I mean, the tampering stuff with the quarterback. I'm like, everybody at this point is just assuming that that's Tom Brady. Like, I don't know if it was or if it wasn't, but the timeline kind of matches up there to where it may be Tom Brady that they were trying to get down there to Miami. That to me is like, when you think about the job that Brian Flores did down there, when your owner is like actively either trying to break rules or actively trying to make you lose. And the fact that he was able to win as many games as he did is pretty darn incredible in retrospect.
Yeah, no, no, it's, I mean, Stephen Ross comes off here looking bad, like real bad. And look, that's a big deal with the NFL. You know, tanking is a real thing, of course. You know, tanking happens in sports. I've never really bought it in this league. And again, like, actually, I think if you look at this story, it kind of tells a little bit of, like, I've never bought it from players and coaches. You know, it's too hard to win. It's too physical. It's too tough. There's too much at stake. Your body's on the line every play. So it just, to me, like, the sport doesn't lend itself to tanking. Actually, you could look at that and say, the fact that the owner was going to pay the coach 100K, like, to tank each game, that kind of tells you, like, this is not some league where things are rigged or tanked. But a story like that could really be damaging to the NFL, because there are people who want to believe that it's rigged and that it's a conspiracy and all this stuff. That's just maybe I'm naive, but I got to feel like Stephen Ross is on a little bit of an island with some of this stuff. Maybe not.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Seth Wickersham from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on the Brian Flores situation and Tom Brady's retirement as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Seth Wickersham from ESPN, also author of It's Better to Be Feared. Seth, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking good time to be with us today, Seth. So obviously, I think it's fair to say a busy day yesterday in the NFL. We got a lot to get to with you on that front. Let's start with this Brian Flores situation. We were talking about it in the last segment. Obviously, there's a lot there when it comes to Stephen Ross of the Dolphins and the allegations of racism in the hiring process. There's so much to sort through. What do you think comes from all this, from the Brian Flores lawsuit that was filed yesterday?
I don't know. I mean, it's really too early to tell. I will say that, you know, these are just accusations. That said, I think that this was pretty courageous of Brian Flores to do this. I mean, this is – the NFL has a – it's almost indescribable, you know, pick your adjective when it comes to the lack of diversity in hiring practices. I mean, I would say it's a joke, but it's not funny. And this is not the league office exactly. You know, like – there's a lot of people in the league office who lean on owners when they have openings to hire a lot of diverse candidates. And I think it's something that the league office has taken seriously. But the record when it comes to who these owners and GMs to a certain extent are hiring when they have openings and the patterns of skin color, it's indisputable. And I'm not a lawyer. I'm not savvy enough to know if Brian Flores has a strong case, but I think that part of what he's trying to do is to make it very clear that this is a problem and shine some light on the behavior of the people doing the interviewing. And I think that that will be a successful effort.
Yeah, well, Seth, I also wonder with Flores, you know, he's got a Saints interview coming up. I was just saying last segment, like, I would look at him as an NFL owner and be more impressed with him based on his courage in being willing to do this, because he is jeopardizing himself. But I wonder, what do you think about his coaching future? And also, Seth, just the Rooney Rule in general. I mean, I think that obviously it's imperfect and people – you know, there are sham interviews. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that, but I also think that there have been benefits. You still get people in front of people that otherwise wouldn't be there. What do you think about that? And I don't know, do you have any ideas to improve it?
I don't know. I mean, the Rooney Rule is just clearly ineffective. It's just not working. I think that, in terms of Brian Flores' future, you know, I think that he is a quality coach. I think that, you know, what he did in Miami, a place that had systemic losing before him, I think was very impressive. And, you know, you look at Houston. I mean, he's a finalist for the job down there. He knows Nick Caserio very, very well. You know, I think that that would be a good spot. I think that one of the hardest things for coaches in the NFL is to gain the respect of players. And I know that it's something that it's like so basic that we'd almost take it for granted, but it is true. And I think that Brian Flores is someone who not only has the leadership qualities, but also the schematic expertise. Look at what he's done against Bill Belichick's teams over the years to command and gain the respect of a locker room. And I think that that's a huge benefit that I think that a team should strongly consider when they look at hiring him.
Seth Wickerson from ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Seth, it was almost hard to believe yesterday when it became official that Tom Brady retires from the NFL. I mean, he's been playing in the NFL since I was like 8 years old. So it's been a long time of Tom Brady playing football. I guess just your reaction to that. And do you buy that he's fully done? We had Charles Robinson on yesterday and he said, you know, wouldn't be surprised if this time a year from now, maybe the itch comes back and he could take a look at playing again. Do you buy that he's completely done with football?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, it is interesting. He didn't use the word retire in his little, you know, his Instagram post. And, you know, I reported in my book some conversations, you know, between him and Alex Guerrero, his body coach, where, you know, they refused to use the word retire. You know, some cultures, there is no word for retirement. You just keep going. And you know, so I did look at that and think about it a little bit. But that said, I think that it's time. And I think that, you know, remember when he left New England, he signed a two-year contract. And to a certain extent, even though he renegotiated his contract and started talking about playing until he was in his 50s, I do think that there was always maybe this ceiling on his time as a Tampa Bay Buck and as a football player based on the initial instinct to sign a two-year deal. And I just think it's time. And like anyone who's kind of close to Brady's circle and close to the Bucks knew about a month and a half ago that this was a big reality. He just, there was something about, you know, he, this year he spent more time entering into new ventures, new business ideas, new businesses than he ever had. He really is excited about his Brady brand, coupled with TB12 in terms of offering some sort of, you know, all-encompassing wellness package, you know, that he thinks has some global potential, similar to the Jordan brand. And, you know, the Bucks are a fantastically coached team, and he loves the coaches there. But they're not as buttoned up as New England. It's one of the hard things about New England. It's one of the reasons why it's so difficult there. And it's also one of the benefits, is that they are buttoned up to the nth degree. And the Bucs aren't. And it's one of the reasons why you saw at the end of the playoff game where they single up Cooper Kupp with a safety and allow a huge play with the game on the line that cost them the game. I think that like those types of things are hard for someone, a perfectionist like Brady, to live with. And... you know, the Bucs are about to undergo a roster turnover that happens periodically in the NFL, and I think that football is a hard game to play. He's 44 years old. He's been doing it at a level nobody knows what it's like to be as good as he is at that age and know how hard it is. I think all those factors all combine. I think that's why, it was time.
Talking to ESPN, Seth Wickersham, who knows the New England Patriots organization as well as anyone, wrote the definitive piece on the Brady-Belichick relationship, It's Better to Be Feared. How is the book doing, Seth? What's been the reaction to it? Do you feel that as we move forward here, because I think you just kind of laid it out. I think Tom Brady sort of demonstrated what he wanted to see if there was another way, right? You wrote that in the book, another way of winning. It was better to be feared, but wasn't necessary. He got it done. Do you feel like Belichick now is driven to sort of, show again that his way can, he can do it without Tom?
I think that, Belichick and Brady are very different humans, but they have a couple things in common. And number one is that, they came into each other's lives at a very critical time in 2000 where both of them understood the fragility of security in the profession that they wanted to be great in. And I think that also they just want to win every week. Yes, there are little other elements of motivation, but, these guys are very self-motivated. It's one of the reasons why, Brady played until he was 44 and Bill Belichick is going to be coaching past 70 when, at one point he said he was never going to be doing that. I do think that, there might be a little bit more motivation having watched Brady leave when the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, two people who should have known better than anybody than to underestimate Tom Brady, did just that. But that said, I think that they want to win every time they step on the field, no matter what. And that's, I think that whenever Bill Belichick walks away, he has a lot of pride in his work, and I think that he wants to hand over to his successor a good team that's, fixed up well to win, rather than a team that falls off the cliff when he walks away.
Also, Seth, I'm back on the Flores lawsuit. As someone who knows Belichick as well as anyone, and this really is a texting issue, right? Not some diabolical plan by Bill Belichick to finally get Roger Goodell back.
I think that, we've all been there, right? But, clearly he, that was a mistake. But, if that's how Brian Flores learns that the New York Giants were allegedly wasting his time and it was taking part of a sham interview, then, that's how we found out. Those texts are amusing. I don't think that they're condemning of Bill Belichick in any way other than he just made a mistake. Bill Belichick and Brian Flores have a good relationship. There's a lot of respect there. Remember when the letter that Belichick wrote to President Trump in 2016 was made public, Belichick at the time didn't realize the impact that was having in the locker room. A lot of the players were offended. They talked about boycotting practice. It was Brian Flores who brought it to his attention and said, Coach, you need to know this is not okay. People have a problem with this. And that's not very easy to do to someone of Belichick's stature the week of a game, nonetheless. And so, I think that there's a lot of respect there. And, I think Bill Belichick made a texting mistake. But, that mistake ended up shining a lot of light on this process, I think.
Well, Seth, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning and providing information. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Seth Wickersham from ESPN, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Seth had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Have the choice is yours coming up here in about 12 minutes or so. Michelle Knezevic in the questions chair today. Paul Kaharsky joining the show at 8 o'clock. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Seth Wickersham for joining us in the last segment. It is going to be interesting from like a current job standpoint. You know, the Texans still haven't named their head coach. The Saints are obviously in the process of interviewing for their next head coach. You know, how does the Brian Flores lawsuit, how does that impact his candidacy for those jobs? Will it impact it either positively or negatively? I'm interested to see kind of how that goes down with Brian Flores over the next few days.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it almost – the fact that like a lot of people immediately agreed, like, yep, he's probably done the NFL, probably speaks to like the mess of the NFL as well as anything. Like, yeah, that's probably about it for him. I think to me it but look, I mean, these owners are still individuals. They're not a conglomerate of people who are all the same people. I mean, there's certainly some tendencies and trends. But I feel like a forward thinking owner would actually be impressed with him and what he's done here. You know, I would also say, you know, maybe this is going to be a problem for him in this league. I certainly would think that, like, if he wanted to be like a college head coach, something like that, that wouldn't be affected by this. But yeah, like that's something I hope to see out of this, is like an owner who can break away from the pack here and look at this and acknowledge that, you know, he's got valid complaints and he's being, I think, selfless and courageous here and actually being impressed by that. I mean, I think as a coach, in terms of the coaches available in this cycle, I think he's demonstrated an ability to be a successful head coach. He's got, I think his resume is better than a lot of these guys who are cycling around and getting jobs right now.
Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jimmy, texting in, says, you don't want to hear about toughness and leadership, but that was the only thing Steve McNair offered. I've seen every game since the Titans have been here, and I'll take Tannehill over McNair. Also, why are there still full-length pictures of McNair and George outside the stadium on the north end? It's not 1999. This is coming from Jimmy. Wow. I don't know that I buy it's the only thing that Steve McNair offered, considering he did win a NFL MVP award.
Yeah. Did he win? Was that co-MVP based on just like taking some hits and I'm coming back? You know, it wasn't like completed passes or winning games. I mean, the thing about McNair is he may not have always had prolific numbers, but I'd say a big indicator of toughness that matters in a quarterback is being able to make plays late in the game. Being able to pull out games, say, drive your, you know, how about the second half of the Super Bowl? I mean, man, that's way down on McNair. Now,
lighting up the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC title game, like, he's pretty darn good.
Yeah. But look, last year when Tannehill was in the middle of this ridiculously good year, we were talking about, okay, so who is the best quarterback? Is this the best quarterback play the Titans have had? It's also worth mentioning that we are talking about a different era of football as well. But yeah, I think that's way too dismissive of McNair. And I don't know, what about those murals? Is that a problem? I mean, that's a huge part of your history.
Well, I mean, look, if you go to Green Bay, I can promise you, you'll find some photos hanging up of Bart Starr and Brett Favre. They're going to take those down. Like,
right. Like, not the 60s anymore.
I mean, I guess my question is, like, who do you want to be hanging up there? I mean, they've got Tannehill up there. They've got Henry up there. They got AJ Brown up there. I mean, they've got modern day guys. But it's okay to, you know, appreciate the great players in your franchise history too.
Yeah, I would say so. If it was all you had up there, then I guess that'd be a problem. Now, I mean, at this point, you know, maybe you swap out Tannehill for somebody else. I mean, it is beat up Tannehill month. So
that's true. Maybe put Marcus back up there. Never know.
Yeah,
you could be coming back. Well, according to some Titans fans, you go get him, come bring him back in here.
Or put up Robbie's face of the franchise, Darryl Lewan.
Well, who's still here?
He is still here. You're not wrong.
Joey texts again, says, come on, Jimmy. They're the legends this team was built on. Yeah, I don't think Jimmy's take of McNair being up on and Eddie George being up on the stadium is going to be a very popular one. I don't think most Titans fans have a problem with that.
I didn't think we'd get into it. You just never know where the show will go, where the conversation might go, you know?
We're the only show in Nashville that's good enough to talk about Stevie Nair and Eddie George hanging on the wall at I almost called it Adelphia Coliseum. Good Lord. Nissan Stadium.
What was it? It was LP Field for a while, too, right?
Yeah,
LP Field? Yeah.
At one point, it was just the Coliseum. I kind of miss those days. It's the Coliseum.
The Coliseum in search of a sponsor.
Yes. Oh, man. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Got a text that the Vikings fan says, I wanted Ryans as the next coach. I was surprised when he turned down the second interview. Now reading the Flores stuff, I wonder if he got a text from Belichick congratulating him. Oops, I meant to send this to Jim Harbaugh instead. I'm not upset about Harbaugh being supposedly hired, but it makes me wonder if that's why he turned down the second interview. This is interesting. Like, you know, there's so much going on right now. Jim Harbaugh looks like he's about to be hired by the Minnesota Vikings, and there's no talk of it whatsoever because of the Brian Flores situation and Brady retiring.
Yeah, and that's a boy. I mean, today, by the way, is you talk about something that has been completely changed and diminished. But today is National Signing Day, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, so here and there, there's a few stragglers signing up or whatever. But, you know, it's interesting. National Signing Day, and it looks like Michigan's about to lose Harbaugh. I must say, I didn't think he was serious. I thought it was just – you know, took the pay cut, and now I just won you a Big Ten, beat Ohio State, got to the playoff. I'm getting my money back, which I totally get.
Sure.
And the Raiders thing, like, they never interviewed. Like, it seemed like it was smoke being created by Harbaugh, you know, or his agent or whatever. But now this looks real. It's really interesting on both fronts. On the Vikings front, you know, like Ryan Porth tweeted the other day, like, now – Eberflus is going to be compared, you know, they're going to, in Chicago, they'd be like, wow, you could have had Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But is Harbaugh that big of a catch? I mean, he has been to a Super Bowl. So
he has.
I mean, that, like, he has a better resume for sure. I mean, obviously he's been a successful, and look, if he's done at Michigan, he did a very good job at Michigan. He just, you know, he didn't do the winning a natty every other year, like some people never should have projected in the first place. But it's interesting. I really didn't think that it was real stuff. But you know what? At the same time, you beat Ohio State, and next year you're probably about to lose by 30 at Ohio State. So it's not a bad time to get out.
Yeah, maybe maximizing your value. Because I think what you've talked about a couple of times is, you know, there's always this conversation of, hey, will Jim Harbaugh go back to the NFL? Like, I don't think that many people were calling Jim Harbaugh last couple of years. Maybe that changes this year with the season they had at Michigan. So get out while you can, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing is, that's the funny thing too, is he's been the same coach, but it also shows you how much of this is like selling it to your fans too, right? Because he's a lot more palatable now that he had the season he had with Michigan. But yeah, I mean, there were NFL rumors with Harbaugh in a lot of off seasons recently, but it didn't seem to be team generated. I mean, no one was asking or request to interview him. So I don't know, man. The NFC North could be very little Harbaugh Cousins. What do you think about that? Nice union of coach and quarterback. Should be interesting.
Shaking in my boots.
Oh yes, watch out, shaking Packer Nation. Boots. Don't worry, Jordan Love will take care of things for you.
Wow, future Hall of Fame quarterback. It's what they do up there. Just get after it with the Hall
what
of Fame.
What QBs. If he turns into like an all-time great?
Bring it on.
You're in favor of this.
It would be awesome. When we come back, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day. Time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Michelle Knezvik in the questions chair today. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
Guys, I'm excited. I just did major research to find really good questions for this. Do we want to start with sports or non-sports?
Let's go sports.
You want to start with sports? Okay. In honor of Tom Brady's retirement yesterday, it got me thinking. He's pretty much, well, he has been around since I was 2 years old, so my entire life. Is there a specific player you remember being very upset or emotional when you heard them retire and you heard they were retiring or they had their press conference? Like, I got Junie over here watching Hines Ward's speech and telling me he was crying when it first came out. So which player do you significantly remember retiring in your lifetime?
I'll start on this one. I never really got emotional over anybody retiring. I will say there are a couple that stand out to me. I'm a big Dwayne Wade guy. So like his final year, his farewell tour was awesome. But the first one I really remember was Steve McNair retiring. Obviously after he got done playing for the Ravens, he was the first, real superstar player here with the Titans. And, if you grew up in Nashville around the late 90s, early 2000s, you knew about Steve McNair and you knew about Eddie George, and there was no question about it. So watching Steve McNair retire, and obviously I think my viewpoint on that has changed a little bit more in retrospect, given the fact that he died just a couple of years later. But Steve McNair's retirement, I remember thinking to myself, man, like one of the first players that I watched growing up and playing football at that high of a level isn't playing anymore. So McNair is probably the one that stands out to me.
Two players come to mind. Both of them wore number 20, Honolulu blue and silver. I was heartbroken when Billy Sims had to retire. He tore up his knee. This is back in the 80s when an ACL tear was often the end of your career. And that's what it was on that awful AstroTurf of the Silverdome. Just, it's amazing. It didn't happen to more guys, but Billy Sims was, he was an all-time great type of player, and his career was too short. So that was as a kid. But the big one is when Barry Sanders retired. I think he's the greatest running back ever. And that is when I said, that's it. I'm done with this franchise. It was actually a great day for me.
It was.
Because I was like, that's it, man. You squandered this. You squandered that. I mean, they got, they won the division. They got to the NFC. Like, he took them places that the organization has not been before or since in decades. But when he hung it up, that was it. I was out, man. So actually, in a way, I say thank you, Barry, but also no thank you, Lions, because he should be like a 20,000-yard rusher and clearly the best of all time.
Thank you, but no thank you. For me, it's Kobe. I remember him just on the mic in the middle of the Staples Center, like Mamba out. He's the type of player I watched growing up just thinking, oh, he's never going to stop playing basketball. Also, RIP Kobe. But for me, he was my favorite player to watch, still watch highlights. I was pretty heartbroken when Kobe left the game. Okay, moving on to non-sports. You have to give up one of these food groups: Chinese food, Mexican food, or Italian food.
It's pretty no-brainer for me. I'm going Chinese food. I live for Mexican food and Italian food, so I will go Chinese food without hesitation. Joe Rexroad?
It's tough because I love them all, but I'm gonna give up Italian food. I can't do without Mexican food. I can't do without Chinese food. And I love Italian food, but this is also one of those, arteries unclogged or clogged type decisions. I could stand some a little bit less pasta in my life.
YOLO.
I've YOLO'd plenty here. So I feel like, you can be very unhealthy within eating Mexican food and Chinese food too, but Italian food, it probably would be good for me to move away from it some. So actually, thank you, Michelle. I think I might start. Maybe that'll be a new resolution for me.
It's a new day for Rex Road.
So for me, I don't think I could ever give up carbs, and pasta is, I would just be a lot sadder if I didn't have it in my life.
Wouldn't we all?
Chinese food, I got Chinese food the other day and I was like, oh, wow, I haven't had this in a while. But I think I would, I mean, and Mexican food, if you're giving that up, you are crazy because it's just incredible. I think I'm going Chinese food to give up because there's just no way I could give up the other two. So, Rob, I'm piggybacking off you on that one. Okay, switching back to sports. Obviously, the Washington football team has been looking for a name for 2 years now. They finally announced that they are the Commanders. You need to tell us your hometown and tell us what your NFL team name would be and what your colors would be. I'll go first, so I'll give you guys a second to think about it. Mine would be the Saratoga Stingrays.
Wow.
And the colors would be a light blue, like think Seattle Kraken blue, with a nice light neon orange. I don't really know if they would look good together, but I like both of those colors. So that's what we're going with. The Saratoga Stingrays.
Nice. All right. You put some thought into this.
Yes, I did, guys. We do not take this segment lightly.
I got mine ready right away. And I've never thought of this before, but it's right into my head. The Battle Creek Brand Flakes. There's just no doubt about it.
That's incredible.
Now, there's already the Battle Creek Battle Cats, which is a A-ball team. But the Battle Creek Brand Flakes, I am from the Cereal City. Many of my family members have worked at the Kellogg's and Post factories. And, you know, bran is also a good source of fiber. So let's go with the Battle Creek Brand Flakes.
I mean, I'm from Nashville, and we have the Titans. But I will go Tennessee Tornadoes. Apparently, there was some thought about the Tornadoes being the name for the Titans one point. So let's just live in an alternate reality. Give me the Tennessee Tornadoes. We'll keep the colors the same way, and I'll go back to like the old Tennessee Oilers, Houston Oilers, love you blue colors. We'll keep them the same way, but give me the Tennessee Tornadoes.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, we're definitely dressing up. Actually, we're going to steal the Bengals uniforms. We're basically going to be Tony the Tiger.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So, Joe, you just need to become a billionaire now so you can start that NFL franchise.
Yeah, Joe, get on that.
Yeah, because I'm definitely moving back to Battle Creek if I become a billionaire.
Also, just tell Tom Brady, you know, maybe he'll want to get into ownership. You guys could team up.
Yeah, there you go.
He's your best friend, so.
All the avocado tequila you could ever want, Tom.
Okay, lastly, this is
on your cereal.
With your cereal. Use it as your milk. Okay. There you go. This is my favorite question that I came up with. So we've all been out of college for a bit now. Some of us, you know, all different time frames.
Rex Rhodes has been out for a bit.
His eyes just lit up on the Zoom right there.
A little bit.
We've all experienced life, you know, post-school. We find out what classes we needed, what classes we didn't need in college. You are a college professor, and you are teaching a non-traditional class. Which class are you teaching? Do you want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I would teach a class on how to manage stress when you have a full-time job and things that you can do in life, like maybe on how to meditate for 10 minutes or how to journal or how to take the mental health time when you're in this busy, crazy schedule and you're in your work life and you forget to take care of yourself. So that would be the class I would teach. Maybe mental health with Michelle. There we go.
There you go. I like that.
My answer is pretty boring. But it would be just a finance and handling your life class, like just, you know, debt and just investing and just a personal finance kind of class. And actually, you're seeing more of this, and actually even some high schools have gotten into some of this. But I will tell you guys real quick, I took a psych class with Dr. Barclay, who's also known as Dr. Sex, and basically, he was like a, I mean, that was a lot of his job, but basically the entire class was about,
wait a minute, what was his job?
Well, his job was like, I mean, he worked with people on like couples and their sex lives, stuff like that.
I just wanted to clarify. All right. Thank you.
But basically the entire class was him telling us stories of his sexual escapades and how you should do acid a lot. It was quite entertaining. And I'm not kidding, but if you look, you can Google Dr. Sex, Dr. Barclay at Michigan State.
Related to Charles like, Barkley,
Barclay with a C-L-A-Y. There's a class you could not miss because he would say the most outrageous stuff every single time. So just wanted to share that. But yes, personal finance. How about that?
I would probably do something similar in hopes that maybe some students would realize that you actually don't have to put yourself in $35,000 worth of debt to have a good life. Maybe taking money away from myself by convincing other children to not go to college. You want to get really, people really fired up? That's what I would do.
So a class, like, leave here now.
Leave here now.
Well, guys, my mom would love you to teach me how to budget, because I could be a student in the budgeting class.
Well, I still could be too. It's a lifelong process.
This has been The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Somebody called my Tennessee Tornadoes name an arena team name. I'm just saying, Tennessee Tornadoes at one point was under consideration. I didn't make this up. It was there.
Yeah. I'm
glad. I mean, the Washington Commanders. Come on. What are we talking about here?
Joe wins for the name, though. Yours was so great.
Yeah, his was pretty good.
Yeah, there's not enough brand in our sports names. It's not as good as the UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs, but I feel like we need some brand flakes in sports.
That's right. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from Outkick 360 and paulkaharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and what this offseason could look like. It's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.